This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. I love this from the 817. Shout out to y'all. Spent my lunch with you guys at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was my first time going to one of your outings. Also, I hope you pick out my name for the tickets. That is totally fair. That is totally fair right there. And we want to thank everyone who's been buying these little kind of charitable baskets for Team Up for Kids and specifically the Miracle League that Buffalo Wild Wings is doing here in Frisco. Really awesome job everyone has been doing. And now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and a not disappointing guest.
That's right. That's right. Our friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com always joins us on Fridays. And today he said, I'll be right there with you. You're in my neck.
I was already ready to trash you if you weren't here.
And that's the thing is, like, I was sitting in the parking lot listening to the show, and I was like, oh, it sounds like they're about to go to a break. I'll go ahead and walk in. Like, I didn't want to come and like just hover and just chill out. So
could have had Ranger talk with us.
I know. If I would have shown up early, I could have talked about Kamar Rocker and kind of gotten into it.
And I didn't even get to, like, how come on DeGrom it's a little D but a big G?
Never makes sense, does it?
And then Ellie De La Cruz, they're all capitalized.
Yeah. All of them.
All the letters.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Oh, the beginning of all four.
I kind of like the idea of being the person that's like, no, my name's all caps.
Yeah.
Like,
my name is Kyle Yeomans.
I'm yelling my name at you at all times. Now, Kyle, I see you wearing the mean green gear.
Yeah.
And I know we got Wyoming this weekend at home. How are you feeling about our chances against Wyoming?
Pretty good. I mean, that's an 0-3 Wyoming team. You're coming off of a rough loss at Texas Tech last week, and Chandler Morris is a really good quarterback. Of course, won a state championship with Highland Park, bounced around from Oklahoma to TCU, threw three interceptions last week. And I talked to Coach Morris yesterday from North Texas, and he was very high on his way to respond from a loss like that and able to do it at home at that Q Stadium tomorrow. I'll actually be on the call for the game. I'm going to do the radio broadcast tomorrow, so that'll be a lot of fun.
He's delightful. Really good at calling football games, if you haven't heard, Kevin.
Do you think their running backs are better than the Cowboys' running backs?
Oh, dude, now, I will say they're really banged up at running back, so I don't know. Maybe not this time.
All right. So we talked to Jerry earlier. It is apparently now starting to make some national news. He says it's the media who keeps asking about the running backs so much, and I do not find that to be the case whatsoever. We have fans that ask us about it all the time. Where do you think the disconnect is between people watching the football and the Cowboys, or do you think the Cowboys just have to put up this front of like, hey, yeah, I know we're starting out with the guy who wasn't good last year with the Patriots, but don't pay attention to that. And before that, he was so bad we had to release him, but don't worry about that either. He's our guy now.
Yeah.
Is it they just have to sell, we believe in what we've got, because you're not going to come out and be like, we know they're crap. We know, crap might be too hard. We know they're probably among the worst in the league. That seems to be the prevailing wisdom.
It to me, and in the conversations that I've had within the building, I think they legitimately think Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott together can run the football effectively. Based off of what they've seen in practice and training camp and things of the sort. Do I agree? I don't. I really don't think that this is a tandem or a running back room that can run the football effectively, and the first 2 weeks have certainly shown that. I mean, if you can find a home run hitter out of the group, which maybe it's Deuce Vaughn if he gets more carries, maybe it's Rico Dowdle if he finds a way to make guys miss in the open space, but there's so many times on film where you see them in open space, you see good blocking up front, you can see a hole opening up, and yet it still ends up in 3 or 4 yards, and it doesn't end up in downfield plays, anything like that, unless it's a broken play to Ezekiel Elliott in a screen action, and he's able to run the ball because there's nobody within 20 yards of him.
Can we stop running Deuce Vaughn, just like draw
straight
right
in between
the
tackles?
Yeah, I don't understand that play at all.
Get him outside the numbers.
Yeah.
See what you can do in the flats. That's where he was successful at Kansas State. All-purpose yards leader in the FBS is whenever you got outside the tackles and utilized him in space. You're not running him in between the tackles with his size and his build. He's so electrifying that you can get him outside. And even against NFL talent, in the edge and in the secondary, I think you're still going to have some success.
Yeah, I'm totally with the same way that the Saints ran against the Cowboys, where that cutback, you're hiding, and then Deuce can hide behind an offensive line.
Yeah.
And then get Deuce, that cutback, and he can tear it up.
Deuce is not Alvin Kamara by any stretch of the imagination, but his skill set is lateral, and it's quickness, and that's some of the things that Kamara does well. He's just a bigger running back at doing those things.
Okay, to add to it, though, because Mike and I constantly have this discussion. Mike's like, Emmitt Smith didn't always have the holes there, but the offensive line, I'm going to say that Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton still have work to do.
No doubt.
And I feel like that's kind of shown a little bit in the run game as well as the pass game.
And both of those guys came out of college as better run blockers and more polished run blockers than they were pass blockers. So I think there is still much to be desired from both of those guys because you expected them to come in and baseline
and
be able to plug and play in the run game. And we haven't necessarily seen that yet. The offensive line hasn't been perfect, but neither have the running backs. And that's where my disconnect is compared to maybe the belief within the building. They actually do. I don't think they're putting on a front for the media or for whatever it may be. And Jerry saying that this morning with you guys and him talking about how they believe in these running backs. I think he's telling the truth. They do believe in Zeke and Rico. I just haven't seen it, and I don't think the offensive line has been helping as much either.
And they're going to keep believing, Kevin, and hope that they're right, I feel like.
Look, hey, just for the record, I also hope they're right.
I am a
Cowboys fan. I would love to have Jerry on here dunking on me going, what do you think about Ezekiel Elliott now? And I'm like, oh, fair enough. He's awesome.
You did it.
So, Kyle, every week, I think it's usually on Thursday. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's Wednesday. You have kind of like the Big Ten numbers going into
the
big
game. Facts.
Now, the Big Ten facts. Yeah. And so I wanted to bring up one of them. And maybe two of them, and you're not wrong about them, but the Dak had 27 completions against New Orleans. 11th time he's done that since the start of 2023 with at least 25 completions. No other QB in that span has more than 8.
Yeah.
So that is like a pretty sizable difference. Why doesn't that feel like a big deal?
Oh, man. Because a lot of them are underneath, and a lot of them utilize the tight ends and the running backs. And I don't think it's a bad thing in order to do that. I think that's why Jake Ferguson is starting to emerge as a legitimate weapon on your offense. That's why you utilized Tony Pollard last year the way that you hope to utilize Rico Dowdle this year, just haven't seen it yet. So I think it is a big deal, and it is something that I think this team has made a point in doing, is giving those short and intermediate passes in this West Coast scheme the opportunity to breathe and give an opportunity for yards after the catch.
Yeah.
That I think it is something significant. Like you said, I wouldn't have written about it if it was maybe one game more or two games more.
That's three games
more than the second place quarterback in the entire league. So it's definitely an emphasis from this offensive system.
So you're just upset that it's not 27 touchdowns each game.
That would be nice.
I would take that per half a season.
Okay.
27 touchdowns per half the season. Well, to go along with that, so far the Cowboys have zero offensive touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah.
Zero. What has happened to this offense in the second half? Because I know we're quick to point out they're third in points in the first half, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, great.
But they have scored zero offensive touchdowns in the second half. What is the disconnect?
Well, I think week one you had that game in hand to a certain extent.
That's fair.
You dominated week one. That's
I would agree with it. Yeah.
And if you score points on the back half of that game, that's great. And it just happened to be Brandon Aubrey's show from that point forward. And Dak talked about it this last week. So did McCarthy, for that matter. But you got to finish drives. This is a team that was efficient in the red zone the last couple of seasons. You got to be better at finishing drives. You can't rely on the weapon that is Brandon Aubrey all the time. If you need him at some point, you cross the 50, you have that confidence in him that you've got points in your bag. That's great. That's an awesome piece to your football team. But if you don't score touchdowns, you're not going to win a whole lot of games. So, yeah, 3 offensive touchdowns in the first 2 weeks, and you've got 0 in the second half. You got to find a way to be more effective in the red zone, and I think having Ferguson back should help that out.
I was listening to, and we'll get to Ferguson in just a minute, but I was listening to Woolchuck and Broaddus in the postgame show, and Broaddus just time after time, and Kevin, we talked about it Monday, red zone efficiency is bad right now.
It's bad. Yeah.
And from what you've seen, is it design? Is it just execute? What is it that's failing them
there? It's a little bit of both. I think there's some creativity that might need to spark this first problem, But it's a lack of separation from your wide receivers. You've got CeeDee Lamb who can build separation in space. Brandon Cooks can do it in space as well. But when you get inside the 20-yard line, the room to work goes away. So your separation has to be one either close to the line of scrimmage or on the break of your route, at the stem of your route. And Jalen Brooks, Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin, whoever else it has been outside of maybe Cooks and Lamb, who haven't been perfect either, outside of those guys, it hasn't been there. There hasn't been that separation for Dak to throw the football. And then we just talked about the running game. It's not like you're having a whole lot of success running the football either.
And that helps open that up just a little bit more when that safety has to stall and look at that running back.
Yeah. I kind of wish I would have asked Jerry about this now. Did you guys see that FEMA, like actual FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, had to put out a correction that they were just kind of like having some fun with a training exercise when they declared the state of Texas a major disaster after the Saints beat the Cowboys? They had to put out a follow-up like correction saying this was just an internal thing. We were testing something building for training. If that doesn't motivate you, I don't know.
FEMA, they're based in Denton. They have like a whole headquarters up in Denton.
Well, they really dropped the ball on this one. They really dropped the ball on this one.
Or did they?
I mean, maybe this is what, like, since the FEMA scandal, the Cowboys broke off 8 straight wins.
It's the black cat from the Giants game a couple years ago.
Yes, or Grimace for the Mets. Yeah, I would love that.
We're going to rally around FEMA in 2024. That's what we're doing.
You mentioned Ferguson just a minute ago, and I saw McCarthy was like, hey, full participant today. Mm-hmm. You expect to see him on Sunday?
I do. I'm pretty confident in the fact that he, I mean, it's always that conversation that you have where it's barring a setback. By this point, there shouldn't be any setbacks. They've got another quick walkthrough tomorrow. That's about it, and then you're going into the game. So I think at this point, you expect Jake Ferguson to be on the field Sunday, which is a huge plus to this offense.
Any limitations when you bring that up? Sorry, Kyle.
You know, I don't think so. I think every time there's a weapon like that and somebody that is going to block and be probably your number two receiver at the same time, you have to have the expectation that maybe he's not 100%. But the way that Dak talked about him on Thursday, he talked about how if it were a high-octane, high-intensity moment, game, situation, Ferguson probably would have gone in week two. He may not have even missed it. And so hearing Dak say that makes me think he's okay. Back to as close to 100% as you can be after suffering what was nearly a major and very scary knee injury. He talked about no pain last week. It's all about shifting and planting and stability at this point. And I think all of that checked the boxes going into this one.
How do we shake up the defense in terms of turning the pressures back on? It could have just been a one-off week, you know. But it just was so drastically different from week one to week two. You saw one of the lower sack or pressure percentages the Cowboys have had in some time.
Yeah.
Anything to kind of fight against that, or do you look back at last week's game as an anomaly?
I don't think it was an anomaly. I think it was, and it hurts to talk about, but the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree has found a way to negate your pass rushers, to take away Micah Parsons, to take away DeMarcus Lawrence and those guys who had 25 pressures against the Browns in week one and only were able to muster 6 last week against New Orleans. So I don't think it's a one-off. I think there's an offensive plan that works against this defense, whether that's running directly at Micah Parsons, which they've done a number of times, just to put him in a tough situation. Or you go completely away from it, and that's what the Saints did last week. They were going to the opposite side that Micah was on, and they allowed either for the screen game to get Alvin Kamara behind him, go downfield, and have Derek Carr bootleg out to the wrong side where Micah Parsons has to just plain and simple run further to get to the quarterback. So even though he had 3 pressures last week, I think he'll have a better week this week, and I think this defense as a whole, even with the elusiveness of Lamar Jackson, they're going to still put some pressures on the board.
They're going to stop Lamar Jackson is what I just heard, Kevin.
They're going to put pressures on him. I don't know about
stopping
him.
Mike McCarthy's like, well, we're not going to stop him. But
you just got to disrupt him a little bit this morning with Sean and RJ and Bobby
and
nuts. Peyton.
He's so good. Like, you talk about the way that he runs. I mean, it's scary.
It's video
really
game.
It is. That's why he's the MVP. That's why he was the best in the league last year.
That's great stuff from Kyle Yeomans right there.
Do you want to hang out, Kyle? Yeah. Now that you decided to show up.
Oh, he gets to pick who's the stupidest of the week?
Yes.
Yes. I did this last year.
Masterpiece of the week, guys. Mike slowly but surely learns about all of our segments on the show. Coming up next, we're the KNC Masterpiece live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco off of Preston. Coming up next, besides Cowboys Ravens, what football game are you most looking forward to this weekend? More of your shout-outs and Masterpiece of the Week. It is a jam-packed segment, and good news for you. It's up next right here on The Fan.
Watson in the gun. They bring another back into the formation to block. Back to throw, rolling right. Somebody better get out there in the flat. Boom! Somebody got out there in the flat. Overshown. Blown out of a cannon. Came and dropped Watson for a three-yard loss.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. And people at Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm going to need your help in just about, let's say, 20 seconds. It is a shout-out Friday. Shout-out to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They've announced multiple ways they're going to honor the Goudreau brothers this season with stickers, patches, and much, much more. So I appreciate that very much. Now, Corey, we need your approval. From the 903, can you do a shout-out to my daughter, Napoli, who turns 7 on Sunday? Please, Corey, can she get a two-day early Napoli chant going?
All right, we're going to need everybody in Buffalo Wild Wings to
do Napoli
this.
Chant for us?
1, 2, 3, Napoli! Napoli! Napoli!
Napoli! You're supposed to do 3, Kevin, is where we shut it off.
I'm sorry.
I shut it off at
3.
That was my fault.
Delightful, happy early birthday, and congratulations to Corey for allowing that.
Now, coming back from that break, Kevin, we heard Brad Sham on the call. A guy who filled in for Brad Sham before.
Trying to take his job.
Yeah, your thoughts on Brad Sham.
Eventually.
I love Brad Sham.
All right, there you go. Yeah. He was forced to say it.
What about that one time when you tried to take his job?
That wasn't me trying to take his job.
Did you do his job one night?
I did for one night. Yeah, one night.
Would you ever want to be the play-by-play guy for the Dallas Cowboys?
Whenever Brad Sham decides that he, in his legendary career, have called it quits, that would be fantastic.
Is that the ultimate dream job of your
Absolutely.
Life?
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
I have a stupid question. There has to be football in the a wing for announcers in the Hall of Fame like there is for baseball, correct? Like
contributors.
Surely, yeah.
I think you can get in as a contributor.
Yeah, because Eric Nadel's in the Hall of Fame.
They don't have the Frick Award. Yeah, nothing
but
like
you
that.
You would think Brad Sham should be in the Hall of Fame for all the Cowboy games he's called. And people know his voice. He's good at it, too. Obviously, you want to be good at it.
Maybe we start the motion of the Brad Sham Award.
Once we get Darren Woodson in the Hall of Fame, then we will give all of our effort to the Brad Sham Award.
Darren needs to be in. Woody's got to get in.
Now, obviously, we're all focused on Cowboys-Ravens. And, Kyle, I know you said you'll be on the call tomorrow for UNT.
Yeah.
Besides those two games, let's say, what's the football game you're most looking forward to this weekend? Because Corey brought up, it's a really big college slate. I think Tennessee and Oklahoma is where I gravitate to there. But it can be college, it can be pro, it can be high school, whatever. Besides those, what's the football game you're looking forward to this weekend?
You know, since you brought up Tennessee, Oklahoma, that would probably be number one on my list just because of how good Tennessee has looked. And then OU, of course, making their first jump into the SEC. That'll be interesting. But how about two powers and true blue bloods of college football, Michigan and USC? That's going to be a fun one.
And so I'm really curious about both of those teams.
No doubt.
Are we going to find out if or how far Michigan might be ready to tumble? Or maybe are we going to find out, is USC legit outside of the number next to them? You know, I kind of feel that way about Oklahoma a little bit. I know we got the Texas game coming up about 3 weeks, but I kind of want to find out, what does this Oklahoma team have?
Well, and that's the thing, when you bring up USC and Michigan like that, the one loss from Michigan was bad because Texas is...
They look outstanding.
They're an actual national championship contender.
Agreed.
Whereas Michigan's probably on the outside looking in this year, but, of course, they won it last year. They have a new coaching staff. They're going to have to build back to it. But I want to see what Lincoln Riley can do. But if they end up winning against Michigan, does that win hold as much weight then you look at Michigan and they're 2-2, and you look at USC and you say, ah, you just took down an LSU team in week one that maybe isn't as good as they have been in the past. You took down a down Michigan team, and they don't get the respect that they truly deserve.
I wonder if it'll be bigger for the people in the building then, you know? So like, yeah, and I don't care because we're still building up a resume and building up momentum and everything like that. Now we can go.
I'm rooting against Lincoln Riley at all costs.
Okay.
I'm familiar with rooting against Lincoln Riley. So.
Somebody just texted this in on the pro front, and I got to say, this is my go-to game as well. It's the Eagles and the Saints, because much like kind of Michigan and USC, I need to learn more about both of these teams. Like, are the Saints really one of the best teams in the NFC, which is what it looked like? And where do the Eagles fall in all of this after a disaster loss on Monday?
Yeah, and you could see, I mean, especially if the Saints come out and they put up another 30-plus, 40 points, then maybe they're legit one of the best offenses in football. I also want to see the Chiefs and the Falcons because of that same reason. Falcons taking down the Eagles in week two and that weird ending with Kirk Cousins and everything. And the Chiefs are going to Atlanta to play the Falcons, who, of course, are a team that the Cowboys will see later in the year as well. So two good games, I think, that are going to tell you a lot about NFC future opponents.
Mike, what are you? Is there a game you're drawn to?
Oh, Kyle stole my Sunday night football. I guess I'll be busy with the Rangers and flying out. So I was like, Sunday night, I think I'll be able to kind of get some of that Chiefs-Falcons. And then Monday night, I'll watch the Jaguars score 10 points and get hammered by the Buffalo Bills.
Can't wait.
This is weird to ask. Does Texans-Vikings do anything for y'all? Because early on, the Vikings are a team that you're like, what's happening here?
Yeah, it's going to be – I want to know if Sam Darnold's real because I know he exists as a human, but I don't know if this is real. I think a lot of it is Kevin O'Connell and the greatness of Justin Jefferson. But we've been on C.J. Stroud all offseason.
Yep.
So that's one. But the two games I'll mark down, I just want to see Arch Manning play. So I don't care who they're playing, Louisiana Monroe. I'm okay with it. I just want to see him play.
Texas quarterback General Booty is the ULM in that game.
And then Lions-Cardinals, because these two 1-1 teams, I want to watch more Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler as they grow their relationship. And then Jameson Williams told us that he wanted to be the greatest receiver ever.
Well, so far, so good.
And so far, he's looking like it. So that's where we are right now.
Now, Corey, this is a throwback to the paper days from the 940. I'm always nervous with this phrasing, but let's give it a shot. Can I get a shout-out to Plano East football as they travel to Clark Stadium to play Plano West? It's Walk Fest week.
That's right. Walk Fest. My kid kept saying
that.
My kid's at Plano, and he kept saying that last year, and I was like, what is happening right now?
It's just like the kids at the basketball game that are doing the push it motion, but not even pretending to say push it. They're like, no, I'm doing the motion. You know what I'm saying.
But I'm saying bull stuff.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. How about some Masterpiece of the Week?
Howdy, boys. Long time no speak.
Hey, Alec, how's it going?
Man,
hey,
how's it
buddy,
going?
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. We're going to do some Masterpiece of the Week.
That wasn't the enthusiasm you were looking for,
No,
was
not
it?
At all.
I'm sorry, Alec.
Hopefully Kyle Yeomans can save me. Because
what's up, Alec?
I'm very glad that you're here to experience how truly wild this show is. This is Masterpiece of the Week. We're going to revisit some of the wild, wacky, and sometimes often concerning things that have been said during this program throughout the course of the week. And guess what, guys? Mike is back this week, if you couldn't tell. So we're going to be very Bassic forward this week. We do have a couple of celebrity entrances, though, that we'll get to. We're going to start when Mike said this.
I think they're hoping that there's still two more inches in there.
Story of so many men, probably, and women's lives.
Yeah, it happens.
That's off Muggsy in Carolina.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or
what?
Someone who,
you know who Muggsy is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you think, what's his last name? Hold on. What's his last name?
Oh, I don't know the last
name. Okay.
Muggsy Bowes. But yeah. You're calling Bryce Young.
Muggsy.
Because yeah. Bryce Young's so short.
Because he's short. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah, so yeah. I think that they should put 2-inch lifts in his shoes so he can see where he's throwing
either
the ball.
That or get all short offensive linemen. Yeah, this
super
is other
short offensive
idea.
Linemen to help him out.
They'll have leverage. They'll have underneath the pad level leverage.
Man, those heel lifts are real, too. They're all over my TikTok shop, and I feel like that's a personal target. I don't like that. Let's see. Mike also said this.
Yeah, well, if you want to, yeah, all those things. I'm not wearing it naked for you.
Was that about the apron?
Yeah, you want to get me a lacy apron.
Mike's supposed to bake me a dump cake, trash cake.
I was going to do – what's it called? A dump cake. I got all the ingredients last night. But I felt we're coming to Buffalo Wild Wings. Mm-hmm. Also, if it sits in the car, we're also in a food establishment. Yeah. I don't know about bringing my own food in here.
It's all right. We got
probably
time.
Probably frowned upon, I'm guessing.
We got there'll time. Be another time and place, but I am, when I get home tonight or today, I got to quickly make a dump cake because Dave Raymond wants my dump cake before the season's over.
But I feel like we could turn that into a drop.
I asked if he'd wear a custom apron, and he said he wouldn't wear it naked. And I was like, all right, appreciate that.
We started adding things to it.
Like lace and frill and stuff.
And so that meant Mike's like, are you trying to get me naked?
Yeah, he lost me whenever he said he was out. Corey Majors, please explain what's going on here.
There are more capable legs to do that than there ever have been before. And, I mean, you can find them anywhere now.
Mm-hmm. You can find
what
legs.
What the hell does that mean?
Go to the leg
it
store.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. We got the foot store for Mike. Now we got the leg store.
The best
store
kicker
from Corey.
A long time ago was a stump.
Mm-hmm. That's
I mean,
true.
He was a stump kicker, right? He's like, great news. I don't have toes. I think I can do this.
So the two notes I have written down right now are Mike 2 inches and Corey capable legs.
Mm-hmm. Capable. And that's what we were talking about is there's. It seems like there are more kickers capable of hitting 50, 60
I thought you were talking
yarders.
About running back room and trying to find some different legs out on the open market. I think that's what you were
hey,
trying
we
to find.
We asked about Jordan Mason, and they're like, ah,
yeah,
how
whatever.
How many times right. back in like the 50s or 60s the stump kicker was the best one, and they're like, hey, do you
is
think
that
you,
Tom Dempsey they're talking
know, like,
about?
Do you think you
with, like,
need
the half
your toes?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, if we cut your toes off, we think you'd be better at this. So I think they started making
what
shoes
kind of
with kind of like square toes to
right,
help
Mike.
Out. The
no, no, Mike, let me ask you this. Yeah. We go back to when you're 25.
All right.
And they're like, we're going to cut off two of your fingers, but it's going to make you awesome at pitching. And then you end up having like a 10-year no worry about it every time in the majors career.
Over $1 million every
year. Yeah, for two fingers?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to be dominant. But you wouldn't have the Barry Bonds moment probably.
I wonder,
you're so
I mean,
good.
Obviously, nah, I would say your pinky finger is not needed too much in throwing.
Yeah.
See?
I mean, if you take out your index finger, your number one, you're throwing a lot of change-ups.
Yeah, maybe you're on the
I think you're throwing all change-ups, to be probably. Honest.
You can maybe come up with an entirely new grip.
Yeah. What about your thumb and your ring
oh,
finger?
If I got rid of my middle finger, you could definitely have a good fork ball.
Okay.
Because it's going to fit in there perfect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. As it happens. Let's see. I do have, like, genres that I kind of put these clips in when I'm looking for content. Oh, and one of my favorite, like, sub-genres of Masterpiece of the Week is Mike overreacting to totally unnecessary things.
Jordan has a house in Highland Park, Illinois.
Oh!
What? That is an overreaction.
Big time, man. Highland Park?
Well, that's in Dallas.
Highland Park, Illinois.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm guessing
about
it's probably Illinois. Pretty nice.
Yeah, it's still I mean, nice. I bet it's just as nice, yeah. It sounds like.
It's just so stupid. Like, nothing requires this on this show.
Oh.
You know what? Sometimes Corey does that, like, off mic. And he'll be like, oh, holy S. And you're like, what happened? Have you seen this bear? And you're just like, what? That's what you needed to tell us?
Well, I'm looking at houses in Highland Park, Illinois. They're all million-dollar homes. So, oh. Yeah, that is a...
Is that just like a prerequisite to like a nice neighborhood is calling it
Highland
Park?
Calling it Highland Park.
That's correct.
Yeah. Might as well.
It's where the land is high.
Sounds about right. Okay, Corey. This could go hand-in-hand with the first thing I played from Bassick.
Yeah, but you said it. You don't want it in the meat.
Nope.
And you don't want it at the end.
When I said
that's
nope.
Cowboys injuries.
The way I said it, it's because I knew it was landing on Masterpiece of the Week. I knew exactly what I was saying.
It is
there.
An astute observation from Mike, depending on
I
your
I saw Tyron Smith play last night.
How did he look?
Solid.
I liked him.
Okay.
Yeah,
they gave up a
good
sack early on, but they did a little bit of like a stunt situation. It wasn't – I mean, he was on that side where they gave up a sack, but you don't have to worry. It was the Patriots. You just have to score four. They say just score four and you're good.
That's what they all say. Yeah. Heard it a million times, Mike.
Yeah.
Kevin, you said
four
this.
Scores. That's what they said. Abe Lincoln came up with it. Oh, he's a Patriot.
What is four score in that speech in reference to, Mike?
What sport were they playing in the 1700s?
It's not a sports-based speech.
That was about slavery, I believe.
Four scores.
But what is four score in reference to?
Decades.
Ooh, close. 20,
centuries.
20 years.
Dang it. 80 years ago. You should have said 80 years
ago. Four score and 7 years ago.
87
years ago.
Oh, yeah. Old Billy Davis.
It's too complicated.
I don't even know what that means.
I got you. Yeah, he knows. Number 87. He's a horrible wide receiver.
Kevin,
he's on the Cowboys.
You said this earlier today.
You shouldn't be massaging that man's wife. I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, whether or not your soul got taken and put in a briefcase, you probably shouldn't be massaging that other guy's wife.
What if you're a masseuse?
Oh, my gosh. Is that Will Chambers?
Will Chambers made his way over.
Man, do you think Will Chambers
he's got off the golf course again.
One of the, if not the most handsome
got a story about that
at
too.
Our station?
Yes. Nobody's as handsome as Will Chambers
maybe
at our station. Mm. We're all a bunch of dudes.
You got to shave the head
tuck
now.
In a collared shirt and wear some slacks, you're good to go.
It's called work, Mike. It's called work. Oh, man.
I know.
My favorite thing.
Work,
we're wearing the same outfit, too, by the way.
My favorite thing that Will does at the station outside of on air stuff is whenever Carter sends out his college football recap,
I have a rebuttal.
Will always replies, I take issue with paragraph three, whatever. And he's like, let's have
he
a talk.
He has such a Texas or bias against Texas, I should say, because of Oklahoma.
Oh. Yeah.
Like those first couple of weeks, I'm like, man, I was like, Texas, not in there, huh?
Mm.
So he has, I like to hit him back on a little bit of that. Yeah. Plus, this past week was a little bit of, I felt like, took a little offense to the defense that was terrific of Kentucky against Georgia last week.
Hey, well, Will.
Just don't know when to punt good. And when not to punt.
You know what I like that Will does
that part
here?
I've got a huge issue.
Oh, Will, you're on?
Yeah, he
he's
is.
On this?
Yeah, I can hear him. And awesome. You know what I love that he does? He's great at segues because we do have something that Carter Freeman said with you guys earlier this week.
He's catching these balls, taking them all the way down.
All the way down.
It is a Friday.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, I don't know that you've made it onto Masterpiece of the Week yet.
There was something I said earlier today that 100% would be on there.
There we go. Keep an
eye
out.
Or should be on there. And as soon as I said it, that was the first thing I thought of was like, oh, man. It was like you saying done to Mike over here. Nope. To Mike when he's talking about meat or
whatever.
That's
what I love, Broadus. He goes, yeah, because I know you idiots are going to take it out of context and play in your
100%.
Dumb segment.
Yeah. I bet you Alex already going back and searching for it right now.
Oh, I've got ears everywhere, Kyle. I've got one more for you, boys. We're up against it. But this is another subgenre, Mike's Live Reads.
Before we talk about those Longhorns, let's talk about... Are you not, like, you know, having your Longhorns anymore?
So
Men's Tea Clinic.
Sorry. The way that Mike and Men's Tea Clinic describe... those kind of things. I like when Mike goes, hey, are you having trouble with, you know, your nighttime stuff? You know what I mean? Like, you're in bed with your bed. Like, you just go so far out of the way to not say anything
else.
Just
want to make sure they get it, you know?
Yes, I think they did.
I loved the hesitation beforehand, too, because he could right. tell the wheels were turning.
Kyle,
he was trying to find
I made
some
that up on my own
avenue.
Right there. I did not have that preset. We went to commercial break with Longhorns, and I was like, how am I going to use this? And it just, like, popped in my head, and then I say it.
That's a strong candidate, but I'm going to vote for Corey talking about all the capable legs there are in the world.
There are more capable legs to do that than there ever have been before. And, I mean, you find them anywhere now.
Anywhere. That's I mean, we found nice. Brandon Aubrey just on a
just
video.
ZZ Top songs just going through my head. Corey's like, everywhere.
Got legs. I'm voting for Mike in Highland Park, Illinois. That reaction's fantastic.
Jordan has a house in Highland Park, Illinois.
Oh!
Such
it sounded like he got a cramp in the middle of the segment. It's like, oh, no!
It's happened before.
It has to
I'm
me.
I'm voting for me/Al Pacino and Any Given Sunday.
Which one even
is that? What the hell does that mean?
Fight for that inch.
Oh, 2 more inches.
Oh, okay, I get it.
And I think they're really hoping that there's still 2 more inches in there.
Yeah. I don't know what our female listenership is right now, but surely it's not
lining. It's off the cliff. Yeah. If there were any already, it's already done. It's gone. Do I have to break a tie here?
Yeah, or you do. Yeah?
Okay, so because my vote would have been Longhorn Mike.
That
would
have been where that would have been.
I guess, Will, if you want to vote, or Alec, if you want to vote.
Wait, can we
to
hear Longhorn Mike one more time, though? I just want to.
Before we talk about those Longhorns, let's talk about. Are you not, having your Longhorns anymore?
Now, you know what would be a great piece of editing? If you could take Mike's reaction to Highland Park and splice it in that empty space where he's deciding whether or not he should say Longhorn, I really think we'd have a piece of business right there.
The collective holding of the breath when you go to commercial when Mike has a read across the station with the executives has to be, audible.
I was walking down the hallway to use the restroom once where I heard Mike over the speakers go, "Oh, crap, this is the wrong one. You know what? Let's start it again." And I'm just like, this is live right now.
Yeah. It makes it real.
Oh, so good.
And that's why he gets all the ads.
Right? You know what? I'm going to vote for it, too.
Before we talk about those Longhorns, let's talk about. Are you not, having your Longhorns anymore?
There it is. This is the dumbest show.
There you go. That is how we do Masterpiece of the Week. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Three.
And play action. Prescott back to throw. Deep to the right side. Lamb made a man miss and running down the sideline. And Lamb's on the horse. And Lamb's in the end zone.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco on a shout-out Friday from the 972. Shout-out to my wife, Ellen. She goes back to work on Monday after her maternity leave. She gave us the most beautiful baby girl, and we love her so much. Just wanted to say I love you, and I'm so thankful for you. That is a delightful shout-out. And
now,
shout-out from a napkin. From your math tutor, shout out to all of my students from across the country. You guys are all awesome. Happy birthday, Kevin. Happy anniversary, Corey. Mike, you are awesome. And so is the crowd here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Love to Sharon McLeod and Ricardo Sanchez. That's from our math tutor right there. All kinds of shout outs happening today, Corey. And now, let's shout out those fellows in Arlington, the G-Bag Nation. Are you guys live at Shakerton's?
We are in Arlington, man. How the hell are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We are doing good. And I know Corey loves Shakerton's.
Yeah, I know Broadus and Schiafalo like to carry their own chairs around, but are they sitting in the comfy couches and lounges today, or they have those extra chairs with them?
You actually have Walchuk laid out on one of them right now. He's sprawled out on his back.
And it's pretty incredible.
Dawson saw Walchuk do it and was like, "I actually like that idea." So he's doing the same thing on the other couch. So I'm standing up right now, and Broadus doesn't actually go anywhere without his rocking chair. He's sitting in that rocking chair right now, rocking away. So, those couches are super comfy.
The couches are super comfy. Absolutely. So come say what's up to us out here at Shakerton's.
And they just delivered a giant bottle of Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Oh, so
there we go. This is going to get crazy.
Give your boy Tim a hug. Give Tim a hug.
Why don't we just get another Mardi Gras Broadus going instead of having
him
do it? Instead of him risking going blind eating this butter that I'm not even sure is fully actual butter, but
it is. It's a $1.49 Blue Bonnet butter. It's the cheapest butter you can buy.
Yeah.
So I went for the cheapest butter you could buy. I was told by Derek Eagleton I might go blind doing this.
Oh, no.
There's a possibility.
I've heard that's possible.
Yeah. And you never know. So, but, I love
Derek. Clogs up your eye capillaries with cholesterol.
Really mess with your corneas.
That's what I get for picking the Eagles. I deserve to go blind. That's kind of how it needs to work. Yeah.
You'd probably pick games better.
Yeah. I might as well have been Saquon.
Couldn't hurt. Couldn't make it worse.
By the way, just 2 drinks of that Sagamore, he'll be in Broadus Mardi Gras party form, by the way. Just telling you.
What do you say if I drink the whole bottle?
Well,
if you drink the whole bottle, just you're one shot.
You'll go, first of all, I'd be driving you home. You'll be blind and
No, we did this at a Ranger game. At spring training baseball, we drank a handle of Tito's in the crowd one day.
Yeah, Tito's ain't rye whiskey, though.
You guys act like you're doing with... You guys act like you're dealing with amateurs here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
you know
what?
I wouldn't
Good
do
point.
That, Broadus. You know, I wouldn't do that.
And it's just a small batch, so it's not even a huge size.
Gosh, know who you're dealing with here, boys.
I can't wait to start chugging out of that bottle.
Yeah.
What time are the what time's the payoffs coming up?
I think they're gonna start at about 2:20.
Yeah.
You know? I might do mine at about 5:30. I think. Okay. I thought yours was the whole program. I thought Dawson's was the whole program.
Yeah,
because I brought pickle juice for Dawson's spray down.
I agree to a bet payoff, and they keep adding things. So
you said
I don't
we
know.
Could bring whatever. Bro, I'm about to drink a bottle of whiskey and a stick of butter. What do you think I'm about to do?
I might go full 2015 on you and just refuse to participate in this hijinks if they.
Oh, wow! I have no problem with you handing me a $100 bill then.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll take the $100.
Question. Have a tall glass of shut the hell up.
does that $100 go to the show? Is it a
Individual guy each gets $100?
Okay, yeah.
It's why I've never considered that particular payoff, Hagee. But I have two. What do you guys think is worse? We're here live at Shakerton's. I can do a live solo a cappella rendition of the national anthem here in front of everyone and on the air. Or as someone who doesn't sing well. I can have my guys here on the show just douse me in a bunch of makeup that I brought from my wife, and they can just put a bunch of makeup and draw a bunch of weird stuff and whatever they want on my face. What do you guys think is the worst payoff here?
National anthem.
See, I think it's the national anthem because I'm really hoping that Lucius will pull the Carl Lewis national anthem and then we can kind of compare them side by side and then go from there.
Yeah.
I also just have no real desire to put makeup on you. You know,
Us, what if you turn out to be more attractive?
That's a good point.
You never know. I mean, you did rock the eyeliner Jimmy Butler style last year.
Walchuk was a particular fan of me going full into character on the Margot Robbie.
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn, thank you. There's Walchuk just absolutely
That kind of ruined it for everybody.
You guys ever thought about you have to shave your beard but keep a clean mustache for like 2 weeks? Just stash it, just 80 stash.
Can't pick up your kids from school anymore.
Gosh.
Yeah, the Mad Dog, we did that last year.
Halloween, that's right.
Yeah, Dawson did that. He did, and we did it great, man.
It was a good one.
Besides the payoffs, what do y'all got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. We have Steve coming up at 3. We'll get his thoughts on how much the Cowboys don't need a new running back.
Do you start the interview by going, "Hey, Steve, how's it hanging today?"
He's okay with calling him Steve.
I usually reset it. You know,
okay.
Mid-interview, Steve Jones with us here in the Navy.
Okay, I love it. All right, roll home.
I asked him for permission last year. He said it's okay to call him
Steve.
He
did. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love that so much. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation or go see them at Shakerton's in Arlington. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Thanks to everybody who's been out here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. Next week, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. Hope to see you there 10 to 2 right here on 105 through the Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
Before we talk about those Longhorns, let's talk about... Oh! Are you not, like, you know, having your Longhorns anymore?